My name is Paul Davis. This is the Davis family farm. My father is the youngest of 14 kids. Did y'all know that already? He's the only one that was playing. My mother, grandmother was very superstitious, so she was not going to stop at 13. 14 kids came in 17 years. There was one set of twins, though. So my father and four of his brothers worked the farm. I got 250 acres in Elkham. That's near West Point. There's about 1,000 acres here, but half of it's open land. The other half is either in trees or in marsh. Only one that got a college degree. He went to Virginia Tech, of course. He graduated in 51. His brother was there at the same time, number 13. They go by numbers, not by names. His name is Press. He was a catcher on Tech's team, and my father was a left-handed pitcher. Boogie finished. Press fell in love with a nurse and quit. They came back and farmed until Boogie was 41, and then he became a county agent here in New Kent in 1969. He retired, I guess, July 15th of 89. I became the county agent in New Kent. July 16th in 89, and I just retired this past year. So it was 40 years of Boogie and Boogie Jr. as your county agents. Again, we have 1,200 acres here. We have about 600 acres in crop production. Boogie and I farm about 250. My other cousins farm the other portion of the land, Ray and Vin Davis, and another cousin, Wayne. Right now, we all get along great. We all play basketball together. One of these days, somebody's going to die and want to know where their 150 acres is. We don't know that. So it's going to be a family feud like nobody's ever seen one day. Like right now, we're all good friends. All right. For the last 10 years, I've been promoting continuous no-till, doing research with Dr. Mark Alley and Wade Thomason and others that have retired. Because, as you know, grain market prices can go from $7 a bushel to $2 a bushel. Yields can go from 200 bushels to the acre down to about 40 bushels to the acre. All that risk, it comes back to the producer. All right, none of y'all guys take that risk. Who would invest in something like that? So what I've been trying to do is when I heard about carbon trading, nutrient credits and trading, I said, that is where I want to be. And to be able to get there, you have to have something to trade. And unless you have your soil organic matter up into 2.5 to 4%, I don't think you have something to trade. Because when you get your organic matter up to there, you've built up carbon because you're starting at an organic matter of about less than 1. All right? And to get it up to 3 to 4, you have sequestered a lot of carbon and you've sequestered or tied up a lot of nitrogen in the soil. And that is where you can put in a piece of equipment like this. It's a green sinker. It's a chlorophyll reader. And it'll tell you how much nitrogen you need. All right? That's being put on a map. And that's what you've got in here, bottom left-hand corner. Every one of those little dots, little marks, that's a different rate, thank you, of nitrogen, 3,500 different rates. That little square right there you see with no marks in it, that's right here where you don't see any beans and where this shed's growing. The soil is so poor here, we decided to put a pole barn. All right, we had some canola here. So we had wheat all around it. In that 10 to 12 acres, 3,500 different nitrogen rates could have gone out or did go out. All right? And how this thing works, you use it on corn, you'll use these drop nozzles to dribble nitrogen between the rows. On wheat, you use just a flat fan nozzle to spray the nitrogen, broadcast it over the top. How these things work, give it back now. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
It sends down an infrared light right here, and it comes out on an angle. It's only about 1 millimeter thick, and it spreads out about a meter wide. It reflects down. That red goes down. If it hits green tissue, the red light is absorbed by green. So the more green it is, so if it's going over here, a lot of green, not much is reflected up, and it will give you a reading. So if it goes over this real green area, it might come back reading 0.8. That's called an NDVI, normal differential vegetation index, which means nothing to you or me. It's just for what the computer needs to know. Then it comes back over to here, and it sees very little to no green. It might give you a reading of 0.2. Now, what that is, there's a equation in this yellow computer, handheld computer, that's based on about 10 years worth of research that Dr. Mark Alley and Dan Brand did on intensive wheat management. They went out there and started planting wheat in the fall to know the best time to plant it. And it's between October the 20th and October 21st is what they found for this part of the world. They determined to plant seeds by foot of row, not bushels per acre, because seed differ in size, so you're either planting too much or too little. So they determined that. But the main thing that makes this thing work is they did tiller counts to determine how much nitrogen they need to put on in February when it's just starting to tiller good. And if it's, say, less than 70 tillers, you need 60 more pounds of nitrogen to really stimulate enough tillers to make your maximum economic yield. If you already got 90 to 100 tillers, it's going to put out and say, hey, you don't need any more nitrogen, all right? You already got enough nitrogen down there to already make those tillers. It will hold you another month. Then come the 1st of April, they take a tissue sample. You go out there and you just cut off the above ground tissue, send that to the lab, and they'll analyze that for the percent nitrogen in that tissue. Well, that tissue has got roots down in there 3 feet that are doing the soil sampling, nitrogen sampling for you. Send that to the lab. If it came back at 4% nitrogen, you still need 40 or 50 pounds on that crop to finish it, to give you enough heads to develop into a maximum economic yield. If it comes back at 5% nitrogen, doesn't need any more. There's already enough nitrogen in that soil to make that crop. All right? That same science is in that box right there in an algorithm that says, in this NDVI reading, here it is, it says it's 0.2 and it's no more than this. It's going to say there's no yield potential there. I'm not going to put any nitrogen or the lowest rate that the machine can put out. You put a maximum and a minimum rate in here. The maximum is based on your nutrient management plan. Say the maximum might be 70 pounds. So you put that in at the max, and the minimum would be, say, 20 pounds of nitrogen. All right? And it may not put out 20 because this thing has a bladder in it. If it doesn't have 10 pounds of pressure, it just shuts off. All right? So you're going across the field, good, lush, green. It's okay. Here we got this graph going up. At 0.2, it's going to put out nothing. Go up here to 0.5, it sees a lot of light green tissue. That's got a lot of yield potential. It's going to start putting out 60 or 70 pounds of nitrogen. Goes up here to 0.8. All of a sudden, it's not going to put out any more. It will start dropping back off, and it'll start putting out less because it's saying there's already enough nitrogen in that tissue to make that yield. That's why if you need this thing in color, you call me. But this thing is different colors and based on the different rates it put out. But it changed the rates 3,500 times on 12 acres. Now, Dr. Mark Alley's science, that's the best thing going before this, was you took that tissue sample, it came back and needs 60 pounds of nitrogen. This 60, 75 acres gets that one rate. But I'm smart enough to know, I know where the sandy land is, it's going to get less anyway. All right? Just flip a switch in there. All right, so that's 60 pounds over the whole area, or you go with this thing and put out 20 pounds up to 70 and anything in between. Guys, this is the future of nutrient management. You can take that book off the shelf and look at it once every 6 years and make a change or whatever and use it. It's good science, but this actually is something you can quantify what you're doing. All right, this will hold up for you. Wheat, it works very good.
Are you recording what you put down as you do it?
Yes. These are just two of the maps it makes. This one is a map of the different rates. All right, the one on the left, well, let me see. I don't have my glasses on. This one on the bottom right, the very light colored area, that's showing it put out somewhere between 3 and 9 gallons per acre. The real dark area put out 25 gallons per acre. The better the soil, the more yield potential, the more nitrogen it put out. All right? And this is a map that will, you can make it, and it'll tell you on a per acre basis, and it'll tell you how many acres got this amount, how many acres got this amount. Jim Wallace can make this thing. GPS, you have to have a GPS unit. I'm sorry. Yes. But there are algorithms in here for about a dozen different crops or different states, and there's more each year that are coming on board.
Sorry, I got confused. You said that it's based on the best soils, but actually it's based on what it sees.
Correct. But the best soils are going to give you more green and more... More
right, but technically you don't need a soil test for this technology.
No, no, there's no tissue sampling at all.
Okay.
You just...
So what happens if you're cruising down through there and the wheat drill got plugged up and an area didn't get planted and it's grown up with a bunch of weeds that are green? Is it going to shoot it out?
It's going to take an average of these 6 sensors on here. It takes one average and it sprays whatever the average is.
So it'll spray...
It will spray
it sees green.
If it sees bare soil over here, but it still needs a lot of nitrogen over there, it's going to average that out. Instead, maybe give you 40 pounds instead of 60.
Now, you can buy a unit that will have one of these sensors for every nozzle if you think you can afford it. But
what's it
that technology is available, but it's expensive. Go ahead.
This system here is an RT200. Green Seeker Trimble has the rights to it to sell it. It's about $25,000. All right? Now that's why this is about the only one in Virginia that I know of that's being used to do this. We used it for research for 3 years, and I purchased it, and I've been using it the last 3 years on my crops, making maps and can quantify what we're doing. Now, on corn, it works great. It's a coastal corn plain algorithm in here. And it works great when you got corn waist high and a little higher. Problem is, when corn is there, farmers are in harvesting barley, they're harvesting wheat. They got too many things to do to wait for it to get this tall. Josh McGrath, the agronomist, nutrient management specialist in Maryland, is doing some work with this in corn that's knee high. That's when this thing... It's hard for us to get it to work because it sees so much soil, so much residue, and not a lot of green. All right? It will work, but I haven't been real comfortable with what it puts out. But if you go in corn that's this tall, it does a beautiful job.
Can you change the algorithms on your own? Or are they...
You can play with it, yes. You can make a graph like you want it to do. Yes, and sometimes I've had to do that because I know the situation and what crop I'm following.
Right.
Yes.
Aren't some corn hybrids just deeper green than others?
They are.
Is it enough that that's a problem or not?
Well, let me tell you with wheat, you leave a reference strip. When you put your nitrogen out at growth stage 25, that's the middle of February, you double up on an area that's 60 feet by 100 feet, all right? So when you come back a month later, it gives you a reference of what you're calibrating your sprayer with. You run three sensors over the green, three over the regular rest of the field area color, and it calibrates it for you. And then you push go, and you're ready to start. On corn, we do not leave a reference strip. It's hard to put out any additional nitrogen when you're only putting it out with a starter to begin with. So we go out, in every field you're going to have some corn that's taller and greener than the rest. We use that as our reference. And yes, that will be the same hybrid. When you go to a different wheat variety, you need to leave a reference strip in that wheat variety, and the same with corn. They do differ greatly, wheat and corn. Good question.
See, the reference strip is that it's well fertilized with nitrogen. so that in that season, that year, you know there's enough there at that place. It may even be excessive, but you know it's enough, so then it calibrates against that.
I put this piece of equipment out here. It's not nearly as pretty or as new as David Hula's, but it does the exact same thing. His won't plant, but his does plant 15-inch row beans. But we lift up every other row and we plant corn. Now you see the row cleaners on the front? They're there for looks. They came with it. I bought it used. You cannot use those if you're in the heavy residue. And my goal is to have a never fallow system where we are growing something actively growing on our soils year round. So once the beans come off, we either plant a cover crop directly behind them, or we're getting to where we are flying a cover crop on the beans, and there are already cover crops already growing when we harvest the soybeans.
What cover crop do you use?
The first few years we went mainly with rye, because it takes up more nitrogen, scavenges more nitrogen, makes more biomass. We were trying to get our organic matter up as fast as we could. We didn't want to wait 10 to 15 years to get 3 to 4% organic matter. Then nitrogen went up to 80 cents a pound, so we started putting out legumes. So vetch is what we've used the last couple years. Y'all came from, we haven't gone to my next stop. We're growing 140 to 160 bushels of corn without any additional nitrogen, with or without starter. So that's neat stuff, folks. So we've gone to that and cutting our nitrogen rate by about 60 pounds to the acre. But flying on the vetch. This is the future, folks. But you can't get all these cover crops on. They're looking, wanting to put 50% of our production crop, grain crop into cover crops. There is not enough drills, time, or drivers to make that happen. There's not enough incentive. You got John Black on day before Thanksgiving out there pulling a 30-foot air drill, 250-horsepower tractor, putting out his cover crops that he'd signed up with the Soil and Water District because he had to do it. Now that's, there ain't enough incentive, you know, for $8, $10 an acre, whatever it's going to be, to make that happen, $50 an acre, to make everybody do that. You've got, and that's where I think this trading program is going to be important. I've been preaching it for 10 years. As these markets go up and down, yields go up and down, get into a nutrient trading program, carbon trading, and after 10 to 15 years, we have something to trade here. Our organic matter's up. We've got nitrogen in the soil. We can cut our nitrogen rates on wheat maybe 20 pounds, corn maybe another 20 pounds. That's 40 pounds I want to trade, not to a sewage treatment plant. I want to trade it to the Natural Conservancy system. I don't want any more houses around here. Right? Trade it to the county for limit development. It doesn't have to go to a developer, sewage treatment plant. I'll trade it to anybody that wants to buy it. But there has to be some system out there to trade. And I think over time, we're going to have something that's we have to trade.